So what Venerable Chanda and myself planned for today was talking about meditation on the breath, which in this old Sanskrit and Pali language is Anapanasati. But before I go into that, I am going to read out a short text, which is from the Buddha, which is basically describing the same as the Anapanasati. But it kind of highlights something which is really, really important in our practice. And that's a bit going back to what the question yesterday about this Pitisukha in meditation, which is part of the meditation of breathing as well. And this is a text I used previous weekend. We did a weekend retreat in Oslo. And I'm going just to use the same text because it highlights something which in many circles, in Buddhist circles, is kind of ignored. And there are teachers who have other ideas. And I just want to make sure that you know what the Buddha was teaching. So when you hear different teachers saying this or that about happiness and joy, at least you can know what the Buddha taught. And then it's up to you to give your meditation the direction you wish. So it's just like five short paragraphs. Friends, when one is virtuous, one does not need to will, let me be free from regret. It is natural that one who is virtuous becomes free from regret. When one is free from regret, one does not need to will, let me be happy. And happy here means, and the word here is pamuja. It is natural that one who is free from regret becomes happy. When one is happy, one does not need to will. Let me be joyful. And that's this piti. It is natural that one who is happy becomes joyful. When one is joyful, one does not need to will. Let me be tranquil. That is pasadi. And that is this both mentally and bodily, just very, very, very relaxed, so settled. It is natural that one who is joyful becomes tranquil. When one is tranquil, one does not need to will. Let me feel mental pleasure, which is this sukha. It is natural that one who is tranquil experiences mental pleasure. When one experiences mental pleasure, one does not need to will. Let me enter deep meditation, jhana. It is natural that one who experiences mental pleasure enters deep meditation. And that's this phrase, this standard phrase in Pali, Sukhino Chittam Samadhiyati. When one has experienced deep meditation, jhana, one does not need to will. Let me see things as they truly are. Basically, this is about developing wisdom, deep understanding. It is natural that one who has experiences of deep meditation will see things as they truly are. So this is like a causal sequence taught by the Buddha on how we get into deep meditation and how wisdom arise. And they do arise out of these beautiful mental states, the emotions, piti, sukha, joy, rapture, bliss, whatever word you choose to use. That is an extremely essential part of meditation and wisdom. And there's also another place, the Buddha, let's see where I can find it here. There's two other paragraphs I want to read out. And this joy, this rapture we develop in meditation, the Buddha called that for a bliss of renunciation. It's a bliss of letting go of things. This is called the bliss of renunciation, the bliss of seclusion, the bliss of peace, the bliss of enlightenment. And I say of this kind of pleasure, meaning mental pleasure, that it should be pursued. It's that it should be developed. And it should be cultivated. And it should not be feared. That's the teachings of the Buddha. And there is this, when the Buddha, when he was a little kid, there was this story, his father was doing some kind of ceremony for some farmers, I think, and he just left the crowd and sat down underneath a tree, and he actually started to meditate as a little kid. I don't know how old he was, but he was a little kid. And he, probably because of all his experiences and training in previous lives, he managed to get into really deep meditation. According to the text, he got into jhana. And then later on, during his 6 years of trying to get fully enlightened, he was trying all kind of stuff to get this wisdom, this enlightenment. He tried to be tough, he tried to torture his body, he did everything. But he failed and failed and failed and failed. And then his thought went back to this episode when he was a kid, when his father was doing this ceremony and he was sitting on this tree and doing deep meditation. And what the Buddha was saying is that, I recall that when my father was occupied while I was sitting in the cool shade of a rose apple tree, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unwholesome states, totally free from the five senses, free from unwholesome states, meaning the hindrances, I entered upon and abided in first jhana. Could that be the path to awakening, to enlightenment? Then, following on that memory, came the realization. That is indeed the path to enlightenment, to awakening. I just wanted to read this up so it's absolutely clear for everybody, because I've heard so many people saying so many things about this joy and happiness. There are people out there saying, no, you're not supposed to do that. But what we teach and what the Buddha taught is just this. I will try to explain this more in details. I've already spoken to a few of you who are already starting to be really calm now. And you can sit for a long while and it's really peaceful inside. But then it kind of stops. You can meditate this long, but then it just, the meditation comes to this natural conclusion. And then it's like ends, like premature in a sense. And that is normally because you lack this joy, this, I don't know, this oomph, this energy, this happiness inside. And that is something we are deliberately to develop. So it arises somehow in meditation, or you do that before the meditation, so you somehow create really beautiful mental states and emotions before or during meditation, so that when you do meditate, you have this joy in your mind. The result of that, it is fun to meditate. That's what I said last weekend, that I asked them, is there anybody here who's been meditating 3 hours in a row, like in a stretch? And there were nobody at that retreat. There's probably many of you have who've done that. But at that weekend retreat, no, nobody has been meditating 3 hours. And then I asked, have anybody of you been watching intensely a 3-hour movie? And like, everybody, yes. They have their favorite movie and then no problem to watch 3 hours continuously, completely mindful, completely there in that movie. But when we sit down and let's supposed to do Anapanasati, and like, bleh, after 15 minutes, and like, nah, and then you just quicked, and you're not able to sit long. And that's because it's no fun. It's not as fun or entertaining or joyful as watching your favorite movie. So to make you to enable you to be really still and really peaceful and go really deep. The Buddha is telling you to develop this joy, this happiness. Ajahn Brahm likes to say this is the glue which kind of sticks you to your meditation cushion. You have this inner joy, but it's just so nice to just sit there because you have this beautiful feeling. You have this beautiful feeling, there is stillness, there's bodily comfort, so it's really nice to sit there. So this missing ingredients is of joy and happiness is very, very common for a lot of meditators. So I just wanted to start by saying that for all of you here who are getting there already and you're having really nice progress during this retreat, and I'm in the end of this talk, I'm going to give you a few tools you can use outside meditation on breathing to get that joy engine going in you. It is so essential. Okay, then meditation on the breath. There is a text directly from the Buddha. I'm going to read it out and comment it on different stages. And add some meat to the bones of this sutta. So this is Majjhima Nikaya 118, mindfulness of breathing. And how, friends, is mindfulness of breathing developed and cultivated so it is of great fruit and great benefit? Here, friends, gone to a forest, the root of a tree with an empty hut, sits down, having folded his legs crosswise, he sets his body erect and giving priority to establishing mindfulness. And ever mindful, he breathes in, and mindful, he breathes out. And just like Venerable Bhachanda said yesterday, this idea of sitting there with your legs crosswise, that was the natural thing 2,500 years ago. And still, a few places, it's a natural thing. But just sit however you want. If you want to sit cross-legged, you can. You can sit in a chair, you can lie, you can do walking meditation. And you're supposed to go to an empty hut, into the forest, and that's what we're doing here. We have kind of moved ourselves far up into the mountains, where it's really peaceful, and just a lot of mountains and snow and peace and harmony around us. And then we are trying to be quiet, all of us, so we don't disturb each other. And you have your own room, you have your empty hut where you can go back to at any time. And then the most important part of this paragraph, that you establish, you're giving mindfulness priority. In the text, it's like you set mindfulness in front, meaning that's important. So step one actually isn't the breathing, according to the Buddha. The step one is mindfulness. And I am 95% sure most of the people here in this room have been doing meditation on the breath in the past. And we know everybody so well that when you start to meditate, your mindfulness will not rest on the breath. It does that for a while, and then it jumps to some kind of thought or some kind of fantasy. There is something in the past or something in the future you cannot pick up and you bring into the present moment. Or there's some irritation or whatever it is. In the beginning, your mind is just jumping around and it doesn't stay on the breath. And that is basically because your mindfulness isn't strong enough yet. And there are things you can do to make your mindfulness stronger. And that is something you can do during meditation or before meditation. When we are walking around, when we are in our room, when we are going for a walk outside, we can basically develop mindfulness. We can learn to be here and now in the present moment. That is something you can do also outside. Make sure that you are focused on what you are doing. If you're eating, you can actually train very like early stage of meditation. You can train on just being in the being upstairs, sitting, eating, knowing you're eating, feeling they're eating, being aware of that, what you're tasting. And when you go for a walk, you can't train on being mindful, just feeling how your shoes are touching the ground. And it also takes you into the present moment. And the more you can do that during the day, when you then sit down to meditate, you have a stronger mindfulness. And I guarantee you that that will make it much, much, much easier to stay on the breath. Because you've already been training for many, many hours to stay here now and being aware of what's going on right now. Our teacher, Ajahn Brahm, he has this step one and a half. Like, step one is maybe mindfulness, and step two is following the breath. But one of those things he's really focusing on after you're starting to develop mindfulness, but before you start to focusing on the breath, is this idea about the past and the future and the present. 2-3 weeks ago, I was in this, I traveled up north in Norway to a place called Tromsø, and I did a weekend retreat up there teaching. I asked them, and I want to ask you as well, does the past exist? Does it? Does it exist? What about the future? Does future exist? Is there future? No. What about the present moment? Does that exist? I think so. Like, we are here now. We can say that this kind of exists, both this building and us, and our awareness and our body right now. It kind of exists. But when you ask about the past and the future, whether they exist, a lot of people are like, I don't really know whether they do exist. But still, the way I look at this is that we are, at any time, we are. And we live in the present moment. But what we do so much is to fill up our present moment with something which has happened and something which we might think will happen. So then we phrase it so that we are thinking about the past or the future. We're filling up the present moment with something which has happened and something we are afraid will happen. And there's one big problem with that. And that is that we have this this tendency. As a human being, both according to psychology and the Buddha, we have some tendencies. And that tendency is to be negative and full of craving. That's something we have in us. So then when we sit and fill up our present moment and we want to pull out something from our memories, which is the past, we tend to pull out the negative stuff. And we fill up all those bad things happen in this episode and whatever, and we are not good at pulling out all the beautiful things. That is forgotten. And the same when we look into the future, we have this tendency to make up a fantasy about how what can happen, and then we drag in our negativity and we create fear, we create worries and concerns about what can happen. And then again, we fill up our present moment with something which is negative, a negative mental states. And that's the opposite of what we are supposed to try to do. We are encouraged or inspired to try to create something beautiful, something uplifting, joy and happiness, inspiration, beauty. That is what we, according to Buddha, is supposed to pick up from the past or the present and put into our life today. That helps for meditation. But if your mind is like normal, and this is not criticizing, you will have this tendency to remember all the bad stuff. And that's a hindrance for your meditation. And the solution then is to train to be here and now. The more you can be present, the more you can just be here and sit eating and really be there eating and sit there meditating, really be there meditating and go for a walk and just be there walking, feeling how it is to walk. If you can do that, you are temporarily free for a while, relatively free. You're free from these tendencies we have to pick up all the negative stuff and fill up our life today or now with that negativity. And the most beautiful thing about breath is that it's always to be found in the present moment. If you are with your breath, you are automatically in the present moment. And in that present moment, you are relatively free from all this negativity which we tend to pick up in life and in meditation. I don't think there's a lot of people who sit and fill up their present moment about past breathing. I don't think you remember that you were breathing in the past. And I don't think that you remember, you sit there fantasizing on how you will be breathing in the future. Right? So if you can be with the breath or with your body, like we do this body scanning in meditation, or you do yoga, you are drawn to this present moment, and then you find this state which is relatively free from all this negativity we create. And if we can put a lot of effort into that part during these days, so meditation is also off cushion, it's off your seat, focusing on being mindful, just being here. And then when we sit down to meditate, it's so much easier to be with the breath, because you've been training a lot of hours already to be here and now with something, and now it's the breath. Early on it maybe it's your body in yoga, or early on it's maybe walking, and or I don't know, eating. So that is one of the points which Ajahn Brahm puts in between mindfulness and the breath. It's something which is, it's really nice to be aware of that and focus on that and basically train developing your mindfulness during the day. And then is the meditation on the breath. So which is like step two, according to the Buddha. So I would just read this out. Yeah, so ever mindful, he breathes in, and mindful, he breathes out. And then this is like a standard phrase from the Buddha. When you start to do breathing meditation, breathing in long, he understands, I breathe in long. Or breathing out short, he understands, I breathe out short. He trains thus, I should breathe in, experience the whole body of the breath. He trains thus, I should breathe out, experience the whole body of the breath. So you start by focusing on the breath, just going in and out. And the more you meditate, and I guess most of you experience this, and that the more you get into the breath, the more of the breath you can be aware of. You're so zoomed in on this experience of breathing that in the beginning it's just like a bit superficially, okay, breathing in and out, but after a while you're so zoomed in on the breath that you can follow it from the very first second, and then all the way in, and then it turns, and then it goes out, and then in and out, and you're aware of every kind of millisecond going in and out and in and out. That's when you experience the whole body of the breath. He trains thus, I should breathe in tranquilizing the body formations. He trains thus, I should breathe out tranquilizing the bodily formations. When you do this, and all of you know this, your body starts to relax. You get really, really relaxed in your body. If you focus on your breath, in and out, your body really, really settles down. And then the fun part starts. And this is again, the Buddha is highlighting joy and pleasure, which is supposed to arise in your meditation. He trains thus, I should breathe in, experience rapture. It's another translation of piti. He trains thus, I should breathe out, experiencing rapture. He trains thus, I shall breathe in experiencing pleasure, which is sukha. He trains thus, I shall breathe out experiencing pleasure. He trains thus, I shall breathe in experiencing the mental formations. He trains thus, I shall breathe out experiencing mental formation. And that's this pasada, and which is this tranquility, this settledness of your mind and your body. And then further down the track, he trains thus, I shall breathe in experience the mind. This is what our teacher called this animitta. This is not jhana yet. This is getting close to what in the commentarial literature called for upachara samadhi, or the threshold meditation. It's just this phase just before deep meditation. I shall breathe in experience the mind. Because those nimittas which does arise in your mind at that time, they are a beautiful mind arising in you, and you're starting to perceive it. You're not completely inside the mind yet, which is the case of jhana, but you're getting closer to it. I don't know, it's like shining through a wall. And you start to have this first perception of this pure mind. He trains thus, I shall breathe in gladdening the mind. He trains thus, I shall breathe out gladdening the mind. Which basically means that you continue at this stage to make that level of happiness and joy even stronger. He trains thus, I should breathe in concentrating the mind. But this is a really bad translation, but that's the standard word which is used. He trains thus, I should breathe out concentrating the mind. But okay, I just leave it like that. And he trains thus, I should breathe in liberating the mind. That means going into deep meditation, jhana. And he trains thus, I should breathe out liberating the mind, meaning going into jhana. That's mindfulness of breathing. Starting from the very beginning, focusing on mindfulness, stilling your mind, finding a way so that joy and happiness and pleasure and rapture can arise in your mind, which is the glue which keeps you meditating for a long time. And it's so lovely, it's so nice just to sit there. And when it's lovely, when it's really nice to sit there, you sit for a long time. You don't sit just for half an hour, you sit like for 3 hours, because you just enjoy it. And if you can sit for 3 hours, your mind becomes really, really still and extremely aware and extremely strong mindfulness. So you see so extremely well what you're doing and how you're developing. One problem, and I had this problem a lot when I was younger, because I was very focused on meditation and breathing in the beginning. And I became very, very skilled in creating a peaceful mind, still, so I could have a break from thinking. Absolutely still. But then no more. I didn't get any further. And even though I had a really good teacher, he was just hammering on and on and on and on about this joy and this pleasure and all this rapture which is supposed to develop. I didn't do that. I was following my own teachings and my own way of doing things. And I thought, I can do this. I can do this my way. And I was hammering my head to this brick wall again and again and again and again. I couldn't just get past this stillness. Until I finally just got it. I don't know how many times Ajahn Brahm had to repeat this for me, for my silly mind or stupid brain to kind of get it. And I really understood that I actually had to start to develop beautiful states of mind deliberately. I had to start creating all those beautiful emotions in my life and in meditation. And when I got my head around that, that's when my meditation took off, really. That was the key. I see this so often in so many people. They find this peace. They find this, yeah, it's nice. But it's kind of dry. It's kind of empty. It's like, nah, not really fun. But yeah, it's peaceful. That's when you need all this piti, sukha, and pasadi, and all this joy, and all this inspiration. And the Buddha, he didn't just teach mindfulness of breathing and metta meditation. He had 40 different types of meditation. And I encourage people to try to play around with other types of meditation than meditation of breathing. As like a basic, like a precursor, or just like a warm up, a warm up for your meditation on breathing. And I like to call those inspirational meditation. And I'm just going to list a few of them and really quickly explain what they are. So if you want to play around with some other type of meditation, which can lift your mind a bit and start to create this positive emotions, then play around with one of these ones. One which is really good, the Pali word is Dhammanusati, and it's like contemplating or re-remembering your best experiences in meditation. All of you, I guess, or many of you at least, have had really beautiful things happening in meditation. And it was so nice. Oh, wow, I had this one time. It's like, was so nice and so happy. Just by sitting down and just re-remembering those experiences and just dwell on them deliberately, that has an effect on your mind. It's like the kindle which can start the fire in you. First little fire which can grow into become something really, really big in your mind. So just re-remember the best experiences of your life in meditation. Sit there and just sit there smiling and re-remembering them. That's recommended by the Buddha. So another type of meditation is Chaganusati. Chaga means giving, and Anusati is this is remembering, contemplation. And everybody have in their life done so extremely much good and nice and helpful to so many people. Yeah, we have done some bad stuff, all of us. But if we can selectively sit down and just see yourself, re-experience yourself, all those good things you've done. And you have to pick them out, okay? You know your life. I don't know. All those things you have done to help, if you can sit down and just gladden your mind because you've done so much good. Pick out all the good things instead of, which is the opposite of the tendencies we have to pick out the negative stuff. That is recommended by the Buddha because it has an effect on your mind. It kindles these beautiful emotions in us. Another one is the contemplation of your virtue, your ethics, your restraint. You know, in most spiritual tradition, there are some ideas about doing good and not doing bad. It's part of Christianity, it's part of Buddhism, it's part of many other traditions. And just actually re-remembering all the times you have restrained yourself and you ended up doing something good instead of doing something bad. That's remembering all your virtuous behavior. That is also one of the meditation types you can do to start this joy and inspiration inside of you. And the same thing, there are also a sangha in Buddhism. There are really good teachers around on this planet. And I like to say that my teacher is one of them, and his teachers again. And I also know that it's not just our tradition which have all these wise, beautiful teachers. This Ajahn Chah, his favorite inspiration came from a Zen monk in his old days. He got this translation from one of the biggest Zen, most popular Zen books in Japan that were translated into Thai. And he so enjoyed reading the teachings of a Zen master. So there are inspiring people around who are teachers, which you somehow over time have found some inspiration in. And again, thinking about them, whether it's the Buddha or it's your favorite teacher somewhere, just sitting there thinking about them does something with your mind. If you're open for that idea. The Buddha's recommendation, Sangha Nisati, remembering, contemplating really, really good spiritual people. And the last one I want to mention here, I don't know the best English translation, but one translation is altruistic joy. It basically means that you can also share into other people's good actions and good karma. If you know this person who's done so much good, so it's not something you have done, but it's something somebody else has done, and you kind of know that person, and you see this person. So just by re-remembering people, good people, doing good stuff, is an uplifting thing you can do in your practice. For me, it will probably be my, for example, my mother or my teacher, Ajahn Brahm. I know how much he's been working, and I've seen so much beautiful things he can do. So just for me to sit down and re-remembering all the patience, for example, from my mother, and all the beautiful things my grandfather, my mother's father, he was my favorite granny when I was young. And just re-remembering all those beautiful things he did or she did. That is also a type of meditation which has this uplifting effect on your mind, which can be the first kindle, the first glow of joy and happiness and rapture in your mind. So if your mind is a little bit, yeah, it's okay, but it doesn't have this oomph, this juice, then try one of those types of meditation. Happy? Is okay? Cool. So, guess I see you for lunch.